Hi, everyone. Well, that's a good advertisement for tomorrow at 10:30. That's wrapping up a three-year project, and it's a very exciting presentation, so please come. Take advantage of that. Okay, so as she said, my name is Catherine, or I go by Tina McVeigh, and I'm the Director of Research in the Division of Family and Child Health at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. And today, I will be speaking about preliminary results from a child health, emotional wellness, and development survey that my division carried out in collaboration with our Division of Mental Hygiene's Bureau of Children, Youth, and Families this past summer. And I will say I have no relationships to disclose. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Tammy Kwong, Carrie Mills, and Abby Velikov. Okay. Adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, are traumatic events that occur in childhood and are remembered in adulthood. ACEs include experiences of abuse, neglect, domestic violence, household mental illness or substance abuse, parental separation or divorce, or incarceration of a household member. In adults, cognitive impairment, health risk behaviors, poor health, and early death have all been associated with ACEs. In children, ACEs have been associated with disrupted neurodevelopment, poor health, engaging in health risk behaviors, and reduced school engagement. In children, exposure to ACEs is measured based on parent-reported data in these nine domains: socioeconomic hardship, parental divorce or separation, death of a parent serving time in jail, witnessing domestic violence, being a victim of or witnessing neighborhood violence, living with someone who was mentally ill or suicidal, living with someone who had an alcohol or drug problem, or being treated or judged unfairly due to one's race or ethnicity. Nationally, almost 50% of children from birth through age 17 have been exposed to one or more ACE, and 23% experienced multiple ACEs. In most states, economic hardship and parental separation or divorce are the first and second most common ACEs, followed by parental substance use problems or mental illness. The prevalence of each ACE and its relative importance varies across states. Connecticut and New Jersey have some of the lowest rates of ACEs, and New York State's rates are also at the low end of the state distribution. In this context, we might expect similarly low rates in New York City. Excuse me. In New York City, local estimates of ACE prevalence are critical for guiding agency interventions to reduce children's exposure to toxic stressors as part of an overall strategy to change the life course trajectories of the next generation. Today, I will share some of the preliminary analyses that we have done with our recently collected ACEs data. Specifically, we asked, what is the prevalence of ACEs among New York City children from birth through age 12? How does prevalence vary by children's age, race, and household income? And how is the experience of discrimination because of race or ethnicity associated with the number of other ACEs experienced? Data for this analysis comes from the 2015 New York City Child Health, Emotional Wellness, and Development Survey, known as CHUDES. Between April and August 2015, we surveyed more than 3,000 sufficiently knowledgeable adult respondents about one child ages 12 or younger in their household. Children under 6 were oversampled to achieve a target of 50% of children in each of two age groups, birth to 5 and 6 to 12. Over 90% of respondents were either the child's mother or father. Another 5% were grandmothers, and the remaining 5% included siblings, aunts, and guardians. Interviews were conducted in English and Spanish, and overall about 16% of the interviews were conducted in Spanish. The nine ACEs were examined separately, with some results presented together, both for efficiency and to promote comparison across measures. Specifically, we looked at economic hardship, family dissolution, behavioral health, violence, and discrimination. We looked at ACE prevalence by child age, race, household income, and by the experience of discrimination as measured by the ninth ACE. Data were weighted to be representative of the New York City population under 12, and analyses were carried out in Sudan software. The sample size was sufficient to produce stable estimates, but standard errors were large, limiting the utility of statistical testing. To avoid conveying a false sense of precision, all point estimates have been rounded to the nearest whole percent, and I will point out comparisons that are statistically significant. Here we present the relationship between the number of ACEs experienced and child age. In the first set of columns, you see the percent of children in each age group who've experienced at least one ACE. The next four sets of columns present the percent of children who experienced one, two, three, or four or more ACEs. Looking at the first set of columns, you can see that 45% of children ages 6 through 12 experienced one or more ACEs in their lifetime, compared with 33% of younger children, a prevalence ratio of 1.4. This difference in prevalence is driven by age-related differences in the proportion of children with multiple ACEs. When we limit our analysis to children with two or more ACEs, the prevalence ratio between older and younger children increases to 2.2. 20% of older children have experienced two or more ACEs, compared with 9% of children under six. This difference is statistically significant. Economic hardship was defined as somewhat often or very often having had trouble paying for basic needs such as food or housing. Unlike other ACEs, economic hardship occurred equally among younger and older children. This concerning finding is consistent with findings from the National Survey of Children's Health. In New York City, as well as nationally, more than one quarter of children experienced economic hardship, and younger children were equally as likely to have experienced economic hardship in their shorter lifespans as children who have lived on average 6 years longer. Differences observed by age group within race and ethnicity categories were not statistically significant, but rates among Black and Hispanic children overall were significantly higher than rates among white children. Rates of parental divorce or separation were high in all groups and inversely associated with household income. Families that are not poor had statistically lower rates of parental divorce or separation than families that are poor. Although these estimates of mental illness and substance use problems do not look very different, when we created a behavioral health summary variable indicating exposure to either one or both of these two ACEs, we found a statistically significant difference between children who are very poor and those who are not poor. The relative importance of mental illness and substance use problems varied by race ethnicity. White children were statistically less likely to have been exposed to a household member with a behavioral health problem generally, or a substance use problem in particular, than Hispanic children. Children who were poor and very poor were exposed to neighborhood violence more than twice as often as children who were not poor, and exposure to domestic violence was inversely associated with income. Differences between children who are very poor and not poor were statistically significant. Discrimination based on race ethnicity was reported more often for Black and Asian children than for white and Hispanic children, but these differences were not statistically significant in this small sample with such low prevalence estimates. And remember that these children are 0 to 12, and 50% of them are 0 to 5. You'd get different results, I think, in an older sample. Okay, this slide is similar to the first slide you saw. The first set of columns simply compares the prevalence of experiencing one or more ACE other than discrimination by whether or not the child had also experienced discrimination. The next four sets of columns report the percent of children who experienced one, two, three, or four or more ACEs other than discrimination. Almost twice as many children who had experienced discrimination compared to those who had not had also experienced at least one other ACE. The prevalence ratio for experiencing two or more ACEs other than discrimination was more than 3.0. Both of these comparisons were statistically significant. ACEs occurred frequently and didn't track consistently with child age, race, or household income. The absolute prevalence of economic hardship is of concern, and the lack of difference in prevalence across age groups requires further investigation. Additional research is needed to better understand the relationship between experiencing discrimination and the number of other ACEs experienced. Our study has both strengths and limitations. One limitation is that it was a telephone survey, which can limit participation. However, the sampling frame included landline as well as cell phones, which served to increase the representativeness. Another limitation was the reliance on the parent as the only source of information about the child's experience. And one of the research questions that I have is how the parent, whether the racism question is a reflection of the parent's experience or the child's experience. So that's something I'm going to be looking at more closely in the future. Strengths of the study include the use of a population representative sample, which allows us to make population estimates. Also, our study focuses on young children, which is of particular importance in the current New York City public policy landscape. The health department now has funding to support similar surveys in an ongoing basis with larger sample size, which will give us the opportunity to assess trends in ACEs and other child health outcomes over time and to combine samples to permit more powerful subgroup analyses. Almost 40% of New York City children have been exposed to one or more adverse childhood experiences that are likely to have consequences for their health, development, education, and life course. New York City is committed to reducing children's exposure to these risks and ameliorating their consequences. These data offer insights that are important for planning and provide a baseline for monitoring progress as new policies and programs are implemented. Oh, and I thank you for your attention.
You have about 4 minutes for questions for Dr. McVay.
No, because the National Survey of Children's Health had already done that for me. The website that has their data is terrific, so I definitely recommend that you look at that. We stole our questionnaire directly from them.
Anybody else? Well, I guess I have a question for you, Dr. McVay. So I was wondering how was collected the information about self-reported substance abuse and psychiatric disorders. If it was a parental, right?
So the adverse childhood experiences construct is that the environment or the experiences that the person has as a child has long-term lasting impact on them through their childhood and into later life. And so the questions are asked really about the context in which the child is living. So for this 9-question ACEs module that the National Survey of Children's Health uses, I'm trying to get the wording. It's something along the lines of, does anyone in this child's household have an alcohol or drug use problem? And does anyone in this child's household have mental illness, or has the child lived with anyone who has mental illness or has attempted suicide? So it's basically trying to get at 9 different dimensions of family dysfunction with one question usually hitting each domain.
Okay, sorry, guys.
Yeah? And that's the big challenge. So this CHOOD survey is the second child health survey in New York City, and we did just get funding for a biennial survey that will start in 2017. But you don't really want people on the phone for more than 25 or up to 35 minutes, and so the real estate on these surveys, which are surveillance surveys, is very precious. And when you need to ask about sugar-sweetened beverages and chronic diseases and literacy and education, there's not a lot of room to delve deeply into any one area. And so, you know, for me, what's nice about this ACEs scale is, first of all, the National Survey of Children's Health is going to be publishing data annually. National data will be new every year, and within the states, it's going to be rolling averages each year. And so we have New York State and national estimates that we'll be able to compare our ACEs estimates with, which is great.
All right. Thank you very much.